Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and you know, there are a lot of stories that a lot of people know. They're part of a cultural heritage that a lot of people share. I'm talking about stories like Cinderella or Rapunzel or Little Red Riding Hood or The Three Little Pigs. And sometimes you hear those stories in just the way you've always remembered. But sometimes there are surprises. A storyteller will come along and put his or her own twist on the story, fracture it just a little bit in the telling, to let into the story some of the things he or she might be thinking about, a little bit of commentary, perhaps, on the world of the storyteller. And we've got stories like that for you today. Fractured fairy tales, stories you'll recognize, but with an added twist from a great storyteller. In this first story, Paul Strickland sets the tale of Rapunzel in an unexpected location. It's set not in a fantastical forest, in a tower, but rather in a trailer park. Here's Paul Strickland, recorded live in the Appleseed studio, with a story he calls Uncle Faltz's Rapunzel.
Let's do a story that y'all know, but let's do a story that y'all don't know it in this way, right? I really love folk and fairy tales for this exact reason, because you get this two-for-one combo that happens, where like you know the basis of the story, but what you learn over the process of hearing someone else tell that story is something about the teller, and hopefully something about yourself in the process, right? I really believe that if a story is far-fetched enough, right? Once it's far-flung and you go to far-fetch it, then what you bring back ends up being far truer than you could have ever imagined. So this is one of those stories that I learned from somebody else, and this is Uncle Faltz's version of Rapunzel. Now here's what happened. I walked into the trailer and Uncle Faltz was sitting on his living room reading toilet. He has a toilet in his living room because it's the only chair he's ever been comfortable reading on. I told you he was wise. So he was sitting on his living room reading toilet when I walked in the trailer and he shut a copy of Grimm's Fairy Tales. And I said, well, what were you reading there? And he said, once upon a time. And I stopped him immediately. I said, Uncle Faltz, why do you say once? Why do you say once? He said, well, because it's past tense. Present tense will be once, past tense will be once, future perfect tense will be will have once. I'm fairly certain that the story of Rapunzel happened sometime before, oh, I don't know, right now. So I think what we're going to go with here, boy, is once up on a time. Fair enough. His version of the story. Once upon a time before, oh, I don't know, right now. There was, in Uncle Faltz's version of this story, a couple who were very pregnant and very excited about it, and they lived in a trailer park. And one night they were in their trailer, and she was having these insatiable, unbelievable cravings for salad greens. Uncle Faltz said, yeah, insatiable cravings for salad greens, and that ain't even the most unbelievable part of this story. Well, she asked her husband to go get her some salad greens. He walked out of the trailer, closed the door, looked around, didn't know what he was going to do because they lived in a rural trailer park. Like, you can't just walk to a grocery store in the middle of the night. He didn't know. And then he saw across the chain link fence in the next lot, that is where the witch lived. And that witch had used her magical powers to conjure up a garden that nobody else could have grown in the hard soil of that trailer park. But she wasn't going to share any of the vegetables in that garden with anybody. So he knew better than to ask. He knew he's going to have to jump that fence. But when he went to jump that fence, unfortunately, he caught his jean leg in those twists at the top of the chain link fence. Uncle Faltz said, oh, and he went face first down into the turnips with his leg sticking up back behind him like he's doing some sort of weird torture yoga. And then the witch came out. What are you doing in my garden? And the man had to confess. And the witch said, well, young man, you may have as many of these salad greens as you would like, but when that child is born, the child shall be mine. And the man agreed to this. That's how the actual story goes. Uncle Fault. So listen here, if the story ended right now, the moral of this story would have to be learn how to negotiate. Everybody knows first rule of negotiation is aim high, right? I bet that witch didn't even want that baby at first. I bet she thought if she started with baby, she could work him up to doing some yard work for her or something. Well, a few months went by, and the couple was very happy. And the baby was born, and as if by magic, the witch appeared inside of their trailer. Give me that child the way that you promised. And the story says that they sadly handed over the baby. And the witch proclaimed, witches are always proclaiming, ain't they? The witch proclaimed, she said, because of the salad greens that you stole, this child's name shall be Arugula. And the father said, that was not the salad green that I stole. Oh, sorry, Radicchio. And he said, no, that wasn't it either. Iceberg. And the mother said, wow, no one has ever craved iceberg lettuce. But eventually, she guessed correctly. Rapunzel, which is the German name for a mustard salad green. Yeah, didn't know you'd learn something in this kind of story, did you? Years go by, 18 years, and Rapunzel was raised as the witch's own, essentially. And at 18 years old, Rapunzel wanted to be a grown woman. She wanted to go out into the world and make her own decisions. But the witch wanted nothing to do with that. And so Uncle Fault said, you know, fancy people have like double wide trailers. Had them double wide trailers. What this witch did, she used her magical powers. She took a single wide trailer, put it up on end. And then took another single wide trailer, put it up on end, put it up on top of that first single wide trailer. And so that way she had a double tall trailer tower. And then she locked Rapunzel up into the top of that. And y'all know the story, of course. Rapunzel had long, strong hair. So anytime the witch wanted to go visit her captive, the witch would go out and she would say, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And the hair would come down and the witch would climb up and the witch would climb down and then the hair would go up. And this happened day after day after day. Well, one day, according to Uncle False's version of the tale, a prince wandered past the trailer park, and as he was walking past the... Hear the most beautiful singing he had ever heard in his entire life. Couldn't figure out where that beautiful singing was coming from. Thought maybe it was coming from the top of that weird double-tall trailer tower. So he stood back, and he watched, and he waited, and he listened. Three good qualities to have in a partner. He watched and he waited and he listened. And then he saw the witch come out. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. The hair came down. The witch climbed up. The witch climbed down. The hair went up. And the prince had what we call a hypothesis. So the prince waited for the coast to be clear. Then he walked up to that tower. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And the hair flopped down. And the prince climbed up. And they met, and it was love at first sight, which is good because otherwise that is super creepy. And they fell so much in love, and they met like this day after day after day after day. Eventually, at one point, the prince brought along a priest, and they were married in the top of that double tall trailer tower, Uncle Fault. So, yeah, it's easier to put a plot point here than it is to explain something a little further on in the story. And then... They were desperately trying to figure out how to get Rapunzel out of the top of that double tall trailer tower. And at this point, we come to the primary problem of this story. Every great story has at least one primary problem. The primary problem of this story is Rapunzel could not climb down her own hair. Ain't that so often the case? That the gifts that we have, that we are able to share with other people, to help other people with those gifts, we somehow cannot use those same gifts to help ourselves. Rapunzel could not climb down her own hair. Well, one day the witch looked out the window of her trailer. She saw the prince drop off of that hair and walk away. And the witch knew what was up. So the witch walked out. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down. The hair came down. The witch climbed up, and then the witch cut off Rapunzel's hair and tied it to the windowsill. Uncle Falso. And I bet at this point Rapunzel was thinking, man, why did I not think of that? And the witch banished Rapunzel to a secret forest, made her climb down her own cut hair. Talk about insult to injury. And then the witch pulled the hair up and waited at the top of that double tall trailer tower because she knew that the prince was going to come back. He was in love. So the prince showed back up. Rapunzel! Rapunzel! Let down your hair! And the hair flopped down, and the prince excitedly climbed up it. And the story says that the witch did not kill the prince. No, no, no. The story says that the witch threw the prince from the top of the double tall trailer tower. And he did not die. He was blinded when he landed on that same chain link fence his father-in-law had caught his pants leg in. Uncle Falso, listen, if the story ended right now, the moral of this story would be, guess what? You do have more in common with your father-in-law than you think. And the story says that the prince wandered around for 7 years, blinded. 7 years wandering around. Definitely, he was hearing Rapunzel singing in his head that entire time. Just wandering around, hearing Rapunzel singing in his head, hoping to find that sound somewhere else in the outside world. And don't tell me you've not had that experience. That experience of having something in your head that you desperately need to find somewhere else in the outside world. 7 years he wandered around listening, and then one day he heard it. And he heard the sound of two small children. And then he felt Rapunzel's hands on his shoulders. And the story says that she was weeping openly. She was crying so much that she cried into his eyes, which cured his blindness. Because in some stories, friends, love literally heals. Uncle Falk says, listen, at this point, the prince opened up his eyes and he saw his two twin children for the first ever time and learned that their names were Vinaigrette and Crouton. And at this point in the story, now that we're at the actual end of this story, I'll tell you what the moral of this thing definitely is. The moral of Rapunzel is not everybody gets a good start in life. It's true. Not everybody gets a good... You think about poor Rapunzel. Before that child was born, she was valued at the same market price as salad greens. And then she's locked in the top of a double tall trailer tower, not allowed to make any decisions for herself as a grown woman. And then she was banished to a secret forest while pregnant with twins and had a bad haircut. And ain't one of them things her fault. Not one of them was her fault. And that happens to a lot of folk that don't get a good start in life. It ain't their fault. And when that happens to people, it takes a lot of luck and a lot of love to overcome that. But luckily, that's what Rapunzel got. A lot of luck and a lot of love. And that is why Rapunzel and the Prince and Vinaigrette and Crouton, they all lived happily ever after past tense.
That was Paul Strickland with Uncle Falso's Rapunzel. And listening to Paul's story has me thinking about the time-honored stories in my life that may change shape a little bit as I tell them or think about them. Since I was a kid, I've read and heard and loved the Bible story of Jacob and Esau, the twin brothers who are, in essence, enemies. There's a lot of trouble between them, so much so that Jacob, the younger twin, leaves home for a long time, to the sound of his brother saying, "I'll kill you if you ever come back." And Jacob gets a job in a far-off land, and he makes his fortune, and he has a family, and then, after years and years, comes back home to reconcile himself with his brother, in spite of the danger. And Esau has forgiven his brother, and they do reconcile. And I've known that story my whole life, like a lot of people have. But reading it one time as an adult, the characters in the story seemed to be characters from my own family. My brother and I had a stormy relationship when we were little boys, kind of like Jacob and Esau. And kind of like Jacob and Esau, my brother and I reconciled happily, and unlike Jacob and Esau, when we were still kids. My brother experienced a near tragedy at the edge of a waterfall on a family hike back then. He fell in the creek and almost went over. He was fine, but I realized that for all that he bugged me, I loved him, didn't want to lose him. And we buried whatever had made us enemies and have been fast friends for most of our lives, and I'm so glad. And my children and my brother's children have heard me or my brother tell a kind of fractured version of the Bible story of Jacob and Esau featuring their father and their uncle, two brothers who hated each other's guts and then reconciled. I'd never pretend that our version is the true version or the real version of the Jacob and Esau story. I hope only to have taken a powerful story from a book I treasure and thought about what it has to say about my life and the lives of the people I love. Old stories that have stood the test of time have done so because they continue to have powerful and meaningful things to say to every generation that experiences them. And that's where Paul's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot coming up, but I want to take just a moment and tell you about another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Lisa Show. Now, life can be stressful, but Lisa Valentine Clark, the host of The Lisa Show, along with her guests and her unique council of moms, provide a positive and empowering look at all kinds of challenges. They tackle them head on, sharing experiences, offering suggestions on how we can handle relationships and health and technology and body image and family, all kinds of stuff. And Lisa is a great person to hang out with. The Lisa Show, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to The Lisa Show whenever you like. The Lisa Show from BYU Radio. We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed Podcast, and our next fractured fairy tale is given by Philadelphia storyteller Ed Stivender, and it's a whole lot of fun. Here's Ed, recorded live in the Appleseed studio, with his take on a story you know, Cinderella.
My name is Cinderella, and I'm looking for a fella to take me to the ball tonight. But I don't think I'm gonna get to the ball tonight, 'cause I gotta clean this place up and I'm feeling so uptight.
Cinderella lived in a big old house with her three mean stepsisters. Let me tell you about them. One was so hot-headed, she was mean. One was so cold-shouldered, she was mean. One was too hot, one was too cold, and the third was just wrong. If you know what I'm saying.
Cindy, can't go to the ball tonight. Ha, 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 hee, hee, hee.
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, woe is me. If only I had a fairy godmother or someone. Oh, what's that?
And there, coming out of the sky in a ball of light, is someone in a three-piece sweatsuit with a towel around his neck and a knit cap on his head. I don't know what the third piece of that sweatsuit was, but you can use your imagination. With a towel, knit cap on his head, towel around his neck. Hey, yo, Cinderella, what's up?
Rocky Balboa, what are you doing here?
Yo, Cindy, I'm your fairy godfather.
Fairy godfather? Who ever heard of a fairy god?
Yo, Cindy, just go with the flow. Don't ask too many questions.
Well, if you're my fairy godfather, do you have any magic wishes for me?
Yo, as a matter of fact, I got 3 magic wishes for you today only. What's your first wish?
Well, my first wish is that the house could be completely cleaned up.
No, no problem. Reaches into a sleeve, pulls out a magic wand, waves it once, twice, 3 times around her head. The house is immaculate, completely cleaned up.
Oh, this is wonderful. Now, how about something to wear to the ball tonight?
Yo, no problem. Magic wand, once, twice, 3 times around her head, and there Cinderella is standing in a 2-piece gold lamé Jordache jeans outfit. And on her feet, glass Adidas sneakers.
Oh, this is wonderful. Now, how am I going to get to the ball tonight?
Yo, no problem. Magic wand, once, twice, 3 times around her head. A block-long Mercedes-Benz stretch limousine pulls up in front of the house. Cinderella runs down, gets in the limousine. Limousine takes off down the road as Rocky says, "Hey, yo, Cindy, you may want to be home by midnight. Just a suggestion." Limousine pulls up in front of the ballroom. Cinderella jumps out. Everyone turns and looks. They've never seen such a beautiful girl before. The prince comes down from his throne, walks over to Cinderella. "May I have this dance?"
"Oh, I'd love to dance. What kind of dancing do you do?"
"How about the Macarena?" And so Cinderella and the prince begin to do the Macarena, and you can join them if you know it. Bong, 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 bong. Cinderella's out in her ratty clothes. She runs out the door, and as she runs, she drops one of her glass Adidas sneakers behind her. The prince walks over, picks up the sneaker. "Oh, boy. Tomorrow, I will go throughout this land, find the owner of this sneaker, and ask her to marry me." The next day, he goes from house to house, finally comes to the house where Cinderella lives with her 3 mean stepsisters. The hot-headed one answered the door.
"Oh, my prince, you have finally come. Let me try on my sneaker."
She tries it on. It won't fit. The cold-shouldered one says,
"Whatever."
Tries it on. It won't fit. Third one looks at the sneaker and says,
"Adidas, don't you have any Nike?"
All of a sudden, they hear pat, clink, pat, clink, pat, clink, pat, clink, and they're coming down the stairs in 1 barefoot and 1 glass sneaker is Cinderella. I'll repeat that for the humor impaired. Pat, clink, pat, clink, pat, clink. Princess, this your sneaker? Cinderella tries it on. It fits perfectly. The princess, will you marry me? Cinderella says,
well, I only met you last night. Perhaps we'll get to know each other a little bit better.
So they were engaged for about 1 year. They finally did get married, and they lived happily ever after.
That was Ed Stuyvesant with his version of the story of Cinderella. Are there old stories you know that seem to have new things to say about your life and the lives of those you love? What are those stories, and what is it that you see there? Have you ever been in a tough spot that you were able to get out of with a little luck and a little love, like in Paul Strickland's story? Did you ever have a gift that you didn't recognize or know how to use? What changed to help you see it for what it was? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. And here's a reminder to check out the Appleseed lesson plans on our website, byuradio.org. Whether you're a teacher, homeschooler, or a parent, you'll find lots of lessons and storytelling activities based on some of your favorite Appleseed stories. Find us on the Appleseed page at byuradio.org under the For Educators tab. We want to thank Paul Strickland and Ed Stuyvesant for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their tales. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromarty. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink Stories for Better Bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.